Are we started? Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry for that long wait. You could have just gone through there and made your coffee, couldn't you? Because it took just as long as last week. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for technology. Don't we just love it? Amen. Father, I thank you for our worship. I thank you for those songs of truth that we've been singing. Thank you that we've been planting seeds in our heart already this morning, singing the truths of Scripture. Thank you especially for the two songs at the start, Charlie and Jill. Thank you for their ministry, their wonderful teaching through song. And I thank you, Father, it's time now to gather around your word, time to focus on the Scriptures, time to plant some seeds, amen? Hallelujah. So thank you for your word. Thank you that it is the agent of change in our lives. Thank you so much for the word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who can just quicken revelation to us and help us in understanding the word. I speak our understanding in the name of Jesus as these seeds are planted so that the seeds are not stolen away, that they can bear fruit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Turn there. I'm carrying on with my series. I'm in week 6. Did anybody notice I did a record-breaking 7 verses last week? How good was that? I'm not doing any new ones this week, though. I'm just doing some of the same ones again. So, spoke about hope last week. Hope being a certainty. Not the way we use hope in the English. I hope Forest Mechanics are going to win this week. You know, didn't get beat yesterday. Yeah, didn't play. Hallelujah. So, that kind of hope that we use in English, that's not the way hope is used in the Bible. If you see the word hope in the Bible, it is a certainty. You have the hope of healing, absolute certainty. You have the hope of salvation, absolute certainty. There's no measure of doubt at all when the word says you can hope for something. No doubt at all. We spoke about bearing fruit. We spoke about walking worthy of the Lord. It was the same thing. I shared the revelation that I'm really working my way through about how I'm seeing the first part of grace is about us learning about the benefits, what we get. But then we have this responsibility after that to walk worthy and to bear fruit. I used to think it was, you see what we get and then you see what we can do. But I've kind of moved on in that revelation. It's not just about what we can do, it's a responsibility. Responsibility to walk worthy of the Lord. Responsibility to bear fruit. I mentioned this last week. In a real sense, we have the responsibility to be well. We should be well. Where's the witness and the testimony in being sick? We have that responsibility. Now, it's not a huge onus that you've got to be well, you've got to be well. No, but if you understand the Scriptures, you meditate on the Word, you rightly divide the Word, you learn the Word, you understand the Word, you have knowledge on the Word, you will bear fruit and you won't be kind of that sickness. It's not a responsibility to do works and do good things, but it's a responsibility to bear fruit of what the Lord has already provided for you. So I mentioned that last week. We have the responsibility to be well, live in abundance, prosper, live in joy and peace. Now, some of you may have felt condemnation by that, but only if you didn't hear the whole message. Because I told you about the responsibility and everything, but then I gave you a model and a method for you to follow that through. Yes, Vic? Yeah, hallelujah. As well as telling you about the responsibility you have, I gave you the method, the model to follow, or rather the word did. Because that's what Colossians 5 to 11 was all about. What you need to do in order to bear fruit. And it's the same old, same old. Rightly divide the word. Meditate on the word. Study the word. Understand the word. It's a simple process. And unfortunately, for some of us, it's a process we're in control of. Because we determine, so you're laughing there, Michelle. We're determining the speed, or initially we're determining the amount of seeds we sow. Then we're determining the speed that they will grow. We're determining how we water them, how we tend the garden. It's our responsibility. But we're in control of it. How much fruit we will bear. How worthily we will walk. Guys, has a direct correlation with how much we're in the Word and how we study the Word and how we understand the Word. Sorry, not so much how much we're in the Word, but how much we understand. Because you could read this like a novel. Read it from start to finish. Read it through once. Oh, wow, that was a good book. Done you virtually no good whatsoever. Because you haven't rightly divided it. You haven't understood it. So it's not just about time in the Word. It's about understanding. The things in our life, we can see a direct correlation between what we're receiving and how we're understanding the Word. Now, as Andrew would say, amen or oh me. Hopefully you're saying amen. As well as all the things you received from the Lord, how you received that message last week, it's your attitude and your mindset that will determine how you received it. Nunzi thanked me for it last week. Thanked me for that message. In the car, she said, thank you for that kick up the backside. So, I would ask you all to metaphorically stand up, turn around and bend over. Here we go again. More of the same. So if you want to put some padding on, that's one of the good things about the Bible. Make good padding. So here we go. More of the same. Colossians 1, verse 7. As you also heard of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. I really hope someday, you know, or I can hear someone say, I know Vic. He's faithful minister in Christ for you. That'll be good. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Great scriptures. Okay, we've had the scriptures, now I'm going to talk about barley. Yay! Learn more about barley. I could go into real deep science, but it's Michelle that does that. So I won't. But let's just say you're a farmer or a brewer and a distiller, and you want to build up your bulk of barley. That's going to take time. But do you know what it can start with? Building a huge, huge tonnage of barley. What can it start with? One seed. It doesn't. But it can, you know. Let's say you start off with one seed, one barley corn. Now, barley, there's different varieties, and these varieties give you different numbers of heads coming up or different ears, and different numbers of corn on the ear. But on average, roughly, you normally get about 10 sets of ears from one seed, and on each ear, you get about 20 grains of barley. So from what, somebody can count, did I hear 200? Yeah, Stuart can multiply 20 by 10 people. Well done, Stuart. So, well, hold on, just wait, we'll see how good your maths are in a minute, all right, I'll ask you. So, from one seed that you plant in the ground, if you get 10 stalks coming up with an ear on each stalk and you get 20 grains on each ear, that's 200 grains. Now, you could crush them up and make bread or beer or whiskey, but you'd make it a lot out of 200 corns. It's not a lot. You could plant all those seeds So if you plant all those seeds, all 200, how many seeds are you going to get? 40,000! You've been thinking ahead. Well done. So in your second harvest, you could get 40,000 seeds. And then if you do that, you see this process and you think, this process works. I'm getting fruit. I'm going to do it again. You know, I'm getting to the message eventually. You've seen a harvest. You've taken the fruit. You think, this works. I'm going to plant those 40,000 seeds. 8 million. Thank you, Stuart. 8 million on your third harvest. Fourth harvest, 176 million. And you can see the growth is going to be huge. This is what's called an iterative process. You do something, you see that it's good, you do it again. You sow a seed, you get a harvest, you think, that's good, I'm going to sow them again. I'm going to do that process again and get an even bigger harvest. Oh, that's really fantastic. I'm going to do that again and get a huge harvest. It's called an iterative process. You use the seeds of the fruit you get to get more fruit. You plant seeds, you harvest, you get the fruit. You plant seeds, you harvest, you get the fruit. You plant seeds. It goes on and on and on. It's quite a simple process. Let me summarize that. You do something, you see the result, you like the result, so what are you going to do? Do it again. Absolutely. And each time you do it, the situation or the harvest is getting better or bigger. Isn't it? It's a simple process. Situation improving, getting better each time you go through the process. That's all an iterative process. Well, we can see another iterative process if we read Colossians 1, 10 and 11. Thinking about planting seeds, bearing fruit, planting seeds, bearing fruit. Okay? Colossians 1, 10 and 11. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There's knowledge. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Fruit. Being fruitful in every good thing. More fruit. And increasing in the knowledge of God. What comes after taking fruit? Getting more knowledge. Strengthened with all might, more fruit, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. What's Paul saying here? Paul's saying at the start, in verse 9 that I started to read from there, he has the desire for the saints to be filled with knowledge about God. That's the start of the process. How do we get knowledge about God? We've seen that at the start of Colossians. We hear and we learn. So learning the word, studying the word, that's the planting the seeds. Gaining knowledge that we might walk worthy of the Lord. So plant our seeds, we gain knowledge, we increase in wisdom and understanding, and we bear fruit. That's what this is saying. But then the next thing we see is Paul saying, you're going to increase your knowledge again. See, it's not a one-off process. We see him increasing knowledge again in this verse, and again increasing in fruit, being strengthened. That's increasing your fruit. That's better, isn't it? That's being blessed. Seeing patience, seeing joyfulness, that's fruit, isn't it? So you see the process, guys. Gain knowledge, get fruit, then get more knowledge, then get more fruit. This is a very important iterative process that we're seeing Paul talking about to the people in Colossae. Very, very important. And it's a process we should see in our lives as well. They hear and know They gain knowledge and understanding with the production of fruit, which leads them to gain more knowledge, which leads to more fruit, which leads them to gain more knowledge, which leads to more fruit. I'm really repeating myself, but that's the way to hammer things in. It's an iterative process. Now, in this particular example, we see Paul doing the process going round twice. But in the life of a believer, this should be continuous or an endless iterative process. It needs to go on and on. And guys, that's what I see in the lives of some of the saints. They hear and they know. They gain understanding and they produce fruit. So what does that lead to? A desire to understand more. A desire to know more. Because you've seen the result. It works. You get fruit. It should lead you to want more. So how do I get more fruit? Well, how did I get it the last time? Oh yeah, I studied the word and I understood it. I produced fruit. So what do I need to do? I need to study more and understand more and produce fruit. A continuous process of knowledge, fruit, knowledge, fruit, knowledge, fruit. That desire to get more and more, to understand more. I used to love studying history in school. And for O grade and higher, we studied the period between the First and the Second World War both times. And it fascinated me. Not so much just the period between the wars, but the rise in Nazism in Germany. The rise of the Nazis absolutely fascinated me. Now, it's not because I'm a Nazi. I think it was how could somebody like that, people like that, get power so easily? That's what fascinated me. How did they get into power? And I studied it and studied it. And the more I learned and the more I understood, the more I wanted to study and the more I wanted to know. So I'd get a book and I'd study that, and there'd be loads of questions out of that, so I'd buy another couple of books to study what I'd learned in that book and get more and more and more. This desire for knowledge, guys, that's what it should be like in the Word. The more we understand, the more we should want to understand. There is never, ever, ever a stage where you've got it. If you think that, you're finished. If you think that, you've had it. It's like, I don't need to hear about the love of God one more time. Played golf last week. It was a bit of a disaster. I actually was up in the amount of balls I had because I lost one, found two. So, and these guys were taking scores. I didn't take any scores, but being up one ball was a result. I went home happy. I'm like 50p up. So I was happy. But I used to play a bit more golf. And guys might be able to confirm this, or ladies if you play golf. But when you play golf, as you improve, it urges you to improve. Once you know I'm getting pretty good at this, I want to practice so I get even gooder at this. I'm going to get even better. You hit a few good shots and you think, yeah, I could get into this. I'm going to practice a bit more. And I just do it for the walk now. I think I walked twice the amount of these guys because I was like walking back and forth. It's like near the end, hallelujah, I hit a fairway. But as you, people might be able to tell me, with hobbies and things they do, as you get better at it, you want to practice more and get even more out of it. Guys, it should be like that with Bible study. I sometimes read the Word, and I get a little nugget, but I think, there is so much more in there I just don't understand. I need more. You want to get into it. We should never reach a stage where we say, I've got it. I understand that. Right, let's get on to the next doctrine. The next thing I'm supposed to learn. Let's move on to that. Many years ago, I led a group. And we were working our way through like the basics of grace. We were doing the message of grace. And one night, one of them said, You know, I don't think we need this group anymore. We understand grace. And I was like, I really wanted to say, well, that statement actually tells me you don't understand grace. Because if you know grace, you want to hear more about grace. If you really understand the goodness of God, you want to hear more about the goodness of God. If you really get the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're going to want to hear more about the finished work of Jesus Christ. I said, you know, Vic, you don't need to teach me any more about the love of God. I'm sorry, you don't understand the love of God, and that's what I'm going to preach on for the next 10 weeks. So if you know now, if you want me to preach on something, tell me not to. You know, if you don't want to learn more about forgiveness and reconciliation, you don't really get the significance of your forgiveness and your reconciliation. You want to hear more and more and more about it. We think, well, I don't know about that, Vic. Let me ask you a question. Have you, and I've got Nunzi to thank for this picture. I better just give her thanks before she tells you. So how many of you have ever eaten an amazing, delicious meal and said, oh, that is so good, I never want to eat that again? That tasted so great. It's just, oh man, that was just a one-off. I'm never going to order that again. That rare steak, that rare fillet steak. I'm thinking now of a hotel in Islay, the Port Charlotte Hotel, if you're listening. I'll free advert for you. Port Charlotte Hotel, fillet steak, like that thick. It was fine. I wasn't paying for it. It was on the Diageo card. That was great. You know what, guys? That was so good. I had it for 3 nights running. Third night, sat down, waitress came over, fillet steak, rare, yeah. Now, I didn't think, oh, that was fantastic. Oh, I just loved that fillet steak in this hotel. You know what, I'll have a burger tonight or tomorrow, or I'll have something different because I never want to experience that steak again. Stupid, isn't it? I don't know if I've told you this before, but I do most of the cooking at home. I've only told you that about 50,000 times. Never once has Nunzi turned to me and said, thanks, babe, that was such a delicious meal. That was awesome. Please don't make that again. Not once. I've got some good stuff out there. I did an amazing lamb tagine the other night. And I've got this new chicken thing with cheesy leeks, blue cheese sauce. That was fantastic. Don't do that again. That was just lovely. I really enjoyed that. I've had that. I've experienced that. I know that blue cheese leaks now. I don't need it again. No. Everyone enjoys my tagines and my chicken and my stuff. I've got a little folder where I print out the recipes and put them in the kitchen, and I'll do them again. Why? Because they really enjoyed them and they really liked them. And it blessed them. So they want it again. Should be like this with the truths in the Word of God. I've said this before as well. It's like this with me and the truth or the doctrine about righteousness. I can listen to that all day, even though I've got a good grasp of it, or I think I have. You know, I think I've got a good grasp. I've probably only just scratched the surface, but what an impression that's made on my life. Oh, thanks. Nubbed. You know, so much in there. I can listen to that teaching again and again and again. I never tire of reading, for he hath made him to be sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. I was thinking about this message last night, and I sat meditating on that message, that verse. And I was just saying it again and again, and I just didn't get tired of it. Eventually, Nunzi comes in, boom. Oh, hi. Sitting meditating on that verse. It's not a waste of time. Oh, but you know that verse, Vic. You've memorized that verse. Yeah, I've memorized that verse, so I can say it to myself and I can meditate on it again and I can go through it word for word. It's like, for he, it's all about what God did. It's not about me, it's all about God. For he hath, it's all in the past tense, it's a hath. You know, you can just meditate on that again, or I can, again and again and again. You guys might have different verses that have impacted on you. But for me, it's that 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, if I were ever to have a tattoo, which I'm probably not, I'm going to probably need a great big long one. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Get that down my arm, not that I'm going to. See, I think I understand that verse fairly well. I can teach on that verse for hours and hours and hours. I think I understand that verse better than most believers. And I'm not being cocky or anything. I've spent a lot of time on that verse. But I want to get into it deeper. I want to understand it more and more and more. And it should be like that with all the truths in the Word. Oh, I love because I'm forgiven. Well, let me find out more about it. I want to get into the deeper levels of that verse. I want to get further and further into my heart so that there is absolutely no chance of that being stolen away. The more I understand that verse, the more I want to understand it. We need that attitude with our Bible study. The more I understand about creation, I want to understand about creation. The more I understand about healing, I want to understand about healing. More and more. That's my testimony with 2 Corinthians 5:21. The more I understand it, the more I've seen fruit being developed in my life. The more I've understood it, the more I've been able to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, it's other things as well, but this truth about righteousness has really changed my life for the better. And it makes me want to understand more about it. Why? Because I've seen the process, guys. I've seen the process. I've planted the seed of 2 Corinthians 5:21 in righteousness. I've understood it. I've got knowledge, and I've seen fruit. So what should I do because I've seen that fruit? Plant 2 Corinthians 5:21 in righteousness more and get more fruit because it works. Because it works. If you do something that you get a good result from, do it again. And the contrary is also true. You know, if things are up the swanny at the moment, try some changes. Stop doing the same old things. Isn't that the definition of madness? Yeah. Doing the same things and trying to get something different. Plant different seeds. I'm kind of going off on a tack here, but we had some great teaching on Thursday night from Barry Bennett about sowing and reaping. Oh, my giddy aunt, that was cool. Good stuff. If you're not getting the right results, plant some different seeds. Everything in our life is a harvest of the seeds we've sown. You're feeling that boot? You want to turn over a bit more, darling? I'll give you a boot. Everything we have in our life is seeds that we've planted or seeds other people have planted and we've believed. Now, let's not get on a blame game here. But parents, teachers, siblings, friends, pastors plant some dodgy seeds in our lives. It's our responsibility to dig up those seeds and plant new ones. If you don't like what your parents told you in the past, start telling yourself the opposite. I am worthy. I have got a purpose in life. I'm not a loser. I am good at that. I am loved. I am accepted. I am part of the family. You start saying, plant some more seeds. Amen. Where was I? If you see fruit, you want to see more fruit. And that comes through knowledge and understanding. That's what verse 10 and 11 is on about. Paul's saying, knowledge leads to fruit, leads to you want more knowledge, leads more fruit, leads you to want more knowledge, leads to more fruit. Simple, simple process. The more you understand and renew your mind, the more you will want to understand. Now, you may be thinking, I know this, Vic, you've told us this before, why are you telling us again? Well, if you listen to the start of my message, that's not a really good attitude to have. Because if you say, I've heard it before, Vic, you don't need to tell me again, you've not understood it. Not understood it properly, not wanting to hear more. Why am I telling you this again and again and again? Because it's important. Why did Jesus repeat himself? Because the things he was saying was important. Why is Vic repeating himself? Because it's important. Guys, you want a harvest in your life? Yes. You want some differences? You want some better fruit? You want good fruit? You want more fruit? Well, listen to this then, because it's important. This is what will change your life. There's only one way to lasting, permanent change in your life, and that's through renewing your mind through the Word of God. Not you waving a magic wand over me, Vic. No, I can help you. I've seen so many people healed. Now, I'm not against healing evangelists, and I'm not against that. I've seen lots of people healed. Some of them stayed healed. I've seen lots of people healed and go back to being sick. Why? Because they go back to the old mindsets. Now, God in his graciousness has provided the miraculous as well for us to be healed. But the best way to be healed is through you renewing your mind and understanding that you're healed. And that will stay. That will stay. One of the problems that we have generally is fantastic. There's lots of prayer and people getting healed. But then there's no follow-up, no discipleship. That's what we need to go along with that, to let people keep their healing. I'm just kind of speaking from what I've seen. I'm not against. I mean, I've seen some amazing healings, absolutely miraculous. The little Terades girl, Hannah, that one that Andrew Womack goes on about all the time. He's got it on one of his videos. We were there that night. That was awesome. Why did that girl keep her healing? I'll tell you why. Because her mum and dad and both our grannies and grandads went to Bible school and renewed their mind and kept that healing. And they're now awesome. If you haven't seen them, you need to go online and look up Ashley and Carly Terades. Eh? Terades. They've made that much influence on me, I can't even get their name right. Ashley and Carly Terades. They did work for Andrew Womack. They've got their own ministries now. They are amazing. And that started through a healing, but then they renewed their minds. Anyway, yeah, so that's it. I know a lot of you don't like this because it takes a long time and a bit of effort. Well, no, let's not say a bit of effort, a lot of effort. It's going to take a long, long time. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. It doesn't have to. Here's another one. I got to give credit to my beloved here. I said, well, tell her all about my message. And she said, oh, I will, but have you thought about this? She didn't say it like that. But most of the time it does. Let's go to Mark 4. Mark 4. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. I'm sure that seed is barley. I'm sure Jesus would be operating with barley. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. It takes time. Most of the time, guys, as we're planting seeds, and want to see transformation in our lives, yes, it will take time. And for some of us, oh my giddy aunt, myself included, it's taken a long time. But I know it's going to work out fine. I know it's going to happen. I know it's coming. So just keep pressing on. We know it takes time to understand. To get a harvest in the natural takes time. What else do you have to do in the natural to get a harvest? What's the first thing you got to do? Plant a seed. Plant a seed, yeah. So it takes time. You plant a seed, and it takes time. It takes time sometimes to get understanding and knowledge. Sometimes it might take a little bit of something different. I remember one time a few years ago, Dave Feldman came up and preached about righteousness that I'd been preaching about 7 or 8 years in the church, and somebody came up to me and said, that message was amazing. That Dave's speaking about righteousness, I've got it. I was like, it's like I've been telling you that for 7 years. I didn't say that. Fantastic. That is brilliant. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes something a little bit different. Just said in a different way. But it might take time. But sometimes it takes less time than normal. I'm still trying to work my way through this because Nunzi only prompted me about this on, what was it, Friday night? Maybe we could get this thing sometimes that's called a revelation. Sometimes you hear something, you just get it, and things change immediately. That, in a sense, I've used both ways in understanding about righteousness. But there was one time, But I heard about righteousness. I'd heard about it before, and my knowledge was increasing or whatever. And I heard about righteousness this one time, and I changed overnight. I saw somebody the next day, and Nunzi said, oh my goodness, you looked at him in a different way. You've changed. Overnight, I changed because of this understanding about my righteousness. What was going on there? I'm not sure. I'd heard about righteousness before, and I was kind of having a slow transformation. And then I heard this thing, my knowledge came immediately, and I was transformed. Huge jump. And then since then, I'm still hearing about righteousness, and the transformation is kind of slowing again. So there's both these processes in place. But there are some times, and not once for me, I heard a truth, I understood it immediately, and bang, I was transformed. And Paul seems to indicate that this can go on with the Colossians. Let's go back to Colossians 1, 3 to 5. See where I'm coming from here. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the gospel, what was it? The word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. This seems to be saying that some people bore fruit the day they heard it. The day they heard the word, they knew it, and they were bearing fruit. This seems to me said there were some people that were changed instantly in hearing the truths of the gospel. Nunzi just looks like she's had a revelation. You can get that from me. You can tell me about that later. I'll just try and muddle through at the moment. That's what it seems to me. This seems to say some people were bearing fruit immediately. Now, we know there's normally a passage of time. I've told you about my experiences with righteousness. There's that gradual change, bang, a huge change, and then back to gradual change. I can't remember what I heard that day. That was so long ago, that day. It just bang, there was that instant change. But I must have heard something, knew something, just went right into me and caused that transformation. But what's going on here? Well, I think it's like this. We are seeing, or not seeing, there are different believers at different stages in their walk with the Lord bearing fruit in different ways and in different times. Now, that's just what I think. You can maybe have a different interpretation. Paul has already differentiated between believers in this letter, hasn't he? He's called them saints and faithful. My interpretation is that there are some, well, everybody's a saint, but there are some who are faithful. Paul's already differentiated between believers. And we can see that all the time. Believers are different. Guys, what I think is this, the seed's the same. The truth's the same. What's different? The ground. And what's that? Your heart. our hearts. I tell you, the heart, it's the heart that is sown into that's different. It's the ground that the seed falls upon that's different. And we can have, you know, we talk about having a soft heart and a hard heart. I don't believe that. I think we have soft areas, hard areas, areas that are being improved, areas that are probably being hardened because of different things. Different seeds get sown into our hearts. We get different reactions at different times from different people. It's exactly the same seed, and the seed is incorruptible, isn't it? The seed is perfect when we're talking about the Word of God. That seed is exactly the same that is getting sown in everybody's hearts, but we see different timescales for fruit. We see some people bearing fruit, some people not bearing fruit. If it was only down to the seed, you lot mostly should be exactly the same, because mostly what you're hearing is from us. So you're getting the same stuff. You should all be the same in terms of bearing fruit. Same levels of sickness, or same levels of health, I should say. Let's get that right. Same levels of health, although they're on a scale. Same levels of health. You should have the same levels of abundance, same levels of joy, same levels of peace, because you're kind of getting the same message unless you're going and then listening to 50 hours of other people's teaching, but I imagine most of you are not. And we kind of encourage you to listen to Karis and Andrew Womack and Joseph. A lot of you are listening to the same kind of stuff. So you should all be the same at levels of fruit, are you? No. Same seed, different heart. I see this all the time in church, folks. I'm going to make no eye contact here, okay? All right? So I can preach my little heart out. Oh, sorry, I'm starting to make eye contact. And I can preach exactly the same message, and I see people get excited, and I see people falling asleep. Thinking about, that's a fantastic message about righteousness fixing. That's brilliant. I love that message. I'm going to get into that when I get home. Or, I hope everyone's put lots of garlic in the sausage rolls this week. Hearing the same message, folks, but getting different results. What's different? You guys. I remember one time, I was sitting next to two guys. I'd gone to a guy's event. I can picture them now. I'm not going to say their names, but bless them. So I had one on my right and one on my left, and this guy's preaching his little heart out. It's really good. And I turn, and he's just lost. Hear that. And I turned around here, and he was almost asleep. I'll tell you what it is later. It's exactly the same seeds. Exactly the same message. What was different? The heart receiving it, the mindset receiving it. Oh, I've heard this already. I'll just go on my iPhone and read some scriptures. I remember preaching before, previous church, and some folk would be getting excited. And then I'd look around, and I'd see this guy burrowing away in his Bible. And I knew he was looking for scriptures to hammer me over the head with at the end of the message. So he just wasn't receiving that word. But as some of the other people, it was just like, hallelujah, this is amazing. And some of you are here, thank goodness. different, same seed, same truths, same gospel, different hearts. So therefore, different results. So maybe what Paul's seeing is he didn't go to Colossians, did he? But what Epaphras might have been seeing was he's preaching the message. Some of the folk are going, this is fantastic. Hallelujah. That is amazing. And he's seeing transformation the day you heard it. And there's others like me. It's taking a little bit longer. Well, let me just ponder on that. What does that actually mean? Are you sure it's not physical pain in his flesh? It's that thorn. Let me just check that out. But then you go and you study it and weigh, you get it, and you bear fruit. But you didn't get that immediately. Why am I saying this? Why are you saying this, Vic? I'm telling you that don't be discouraged about this being a process that is taking time. Because you know what, guys? Your jump may be 30 seconds away. I may just be about to say something so profound. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just about to say something so profound that you need to get the understanding and you're going to be transformed. Or it may be this afternoon when you go home and you listen to the message again, or you study, you've taken notes, you've studied it, and you think, I get it now, bang. Your transformation, your jump may be there. Or it may be that your transformation is going to take a little bit longer. But what I'm telling you is don't give up. Because that process will be happening. If you are studying the Word and gaining understanding, you will be changing. Now, you might not see it. It might be so gradual you'll not see it. But somebody might visit you and not seen you for 2 years, and it's, what the heck's happened to you, Stuart? Because that change has been so gradual, but over 2 years, somebody will have noticed it. Keep going, guys. But you're the point where you're going to bear fruit, what worthy of the Lord, guys, it could be minutes away. I just never understood forgiveness. I just can't get it. I can't actually believe it. But you might just be about to get it tomorrow. And boy, if you get that forgiveness thing, that's going to change your life. How you react to people, how you behave with people, how they see you. It's going to be brilliant. Your transformation may just be minutes, seconds, days, weeks, decades away. But you have got decades. I rebuke that. I rebuke that comment in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 120 we've got till, isn't it? Is that what the Word says? So, you may just be at the stage where you're going to hear something slightly different. I mean, yeah, hallelujah. Oh, let's get him back. Let's get Dave Feldman back and see if he can get forgiveness into you, or righteousness, or healing, or whatever. He might just say it in a different way. It might just be coming, guys. Your revelation could be just round the corner. The thing about something that's round the corner, you can't see it. But it could be right there. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Do not give up. Do not stop. Never give up on the Word. Never give up on the Lord. Look at Galatians 6. This was a verse that I think we heard on Thursday night. Or I might have heard it in my studies with Barry at someone else. But Galatians 6, 7-9, I think it was Thursday. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh, that's an ouchy verse. Things aren't going very well just now. You've sown for it. That's what you've sown. Now, yeah, I'm not on purpose. You're not thinking, oh, I'm going to sow for this or I'm going to sow for that. But that's what the Word's saying. Now, don't be condemned, because what I've already said, if you don't like what the harvest you're reaping already, sow a different seed. You'd be absolutely stupid if you're a farmer and you wanted to grow barley and you sowed wheat. Can I make single malt Scotch whiskey with wheat? It's got to be 100% barley. So if you want to make it, you know, if you're wanting something, sow the right seed. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is what I wanted to tell you. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Fantastic. Does it say anything else in your Bibles? What does it say? If we faint not, if you don't give up. It doesn't stop there saying, in due season we shall reap. It says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't give up. Do not faint, guys. Keep on going in the process of hearing the Word. You might be sitting there and thinking, Vic, you preach about this week after week after week, and it is making no difference in my life. Yes, it is. It must be. It has to be, because the Word can't tell lies. If it's not working, you're not planting seeds. Oops, sorry, was that blunt enough? Do you want me to get any blunter? I've told you before, I feel it when I'm not in the Word. When I'm not planting seeds, things don't go well. I admit that. So I'm happy enough to stand up in front of you and say that. It makes me more than happy enough to say it to you guys as well. If you're not planting seeds, it ain't going to happen. If you're not planting seeds, you're not going to get a harvest. It's really simple. But if you plant them and wander off, and instead of watering them, studying the Word, watch EastEnders, they ain't going to grow. Or they might do, but they've got loads of weeds choking them, you're not going to bear fruit. See, I know this happens in my life, guys. So I'm happy to preach to you about it. Because I know it works. Do not faint. Keep on going in the process of hearing the Word, gaining knowledge and understanding, and you will reap a harvest. You will bear fruit. You will walk worthy if you don't give up. Don't stop halfway. You might be, you're thinking, oh, this is not working, I'm just going to stop. You might be 99% of the way, and it's just coming. I think I've told you this before. I saw this Facebook thing where this miner gave up, and it was a little cartoon, and it was about this verse, don't give up. And he had a huge, huge tunnel that he chipped away and chipped away and chipped away and got nothing. And he gave up, and he was an inch away from this humongous diamond. That if he'd just not fainted, not given up, and gone that little bit extra, there's your acceptance, your abundance, your healing, your whatever you need, your blessings, the fruit you're going to bear. It could be just there. As long as you stay in this loop of planting, gaining knowledge, getting fruit, just keep doing it. You cannot bear fruit without sowing seed. There we go. You need to hear and know, or you need to keep going until you get true revelation. Don't faint, guys. Keep going. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you, and so are we. The church, your brothers and sisters are here to support you. We're here to support you. The Greek word for that word, faint, means to relax. Don't relax in your times of studying the Word. Don't relax in your times of meditation in the Word. Don't relax in trying to get knowledge and understanding. I have seen people push through with the Bible and they are bearing fruit. I can see it. I have to say, as a pastor and teacher, that's one of the biggest buzz that you can get. Seeing people bearing fruit, doing what you tell them to do. Now, it's not do what I tell you to do. That's not what I'm like. You guys know that. But I'm telling you, get into the Word, study, rightly divided. I tell you this every week. Guess what I'll be preaching on next week? Probably the same. Because I can see it producing fruit. And this is not to condemn anyone. Please don't be condemned, because the message is all about how you can change. But I know if you're not in the Word. I don't need to see what you're sowing. Just look at your fruit. I know who's in the Word. I know who's studying. I know when people say, I'm in the Word, Vic. No, you're not. Yes, you are. Now, I don't say that, do I? Do you want me to? Do you want me to start saying that? But you guys all know. You come to me. I remember Michelle said this to me one time. She said, you know what, Vic? I've just stopped asking you. Could you just tell me to get into the Word? Now, that's brilliant. She's learnt. Get into the Word. Now, yeah, come to me, please, because I can direct you to what parts of the Word might help. Come to me and Nunzi. Our Bible knowledge is pretty good. We should be able to help you there. I've offered loads of times for the big course and for all these courses. You know, I offered it years ago. Two people came and asked for it. Where are they now? Just finished third year at Bible college, thinking about their ministry. Guys, it works. It really works. Keep on keeping on. Keep on pushing through. Keep on running that race. Don't give up. Don't relax. Don't faint. Oh, but it might take, it's going to take a long time, Vic. Yes, it might. Oh, it might take 5 years, Vic. Yes, but 5 years, folk, are going to pass. 5 years are going to pass. And at the end of 5 years, you might be bearing so much fruit, you don't know what to do with it. But if you don't start sowing now, 5 years are going to, 5 years are going to come. I've been away from Diageo for over 5 years now. How quick was that? That's what, 5 years will come round. But you know what as well, guys? You might be like one of these Colossians. Hang in there, keep studying, don't relax. Tomorrow may be the day you just get it. But yeah, it might be 5 years. But isn't it going to be great in 5 years when you look back and think, what a journey that was. Look at that fruit I'm now bearing. But if you're not sowing, doesn't matter what you do for the next 5 years, there's going to be no harvest. There is a harvest there for you. There is a fruit to bear. There is a responsibility to show the world that these things work. That's what the word says. Guys, keep hearing. Keep increasing your knowledge. Keep increasing your understanding. And the word promises, if you don't faint, you'll be transformed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Cheers, guys. See you next week.